Hebrews 6:12. Yes. Who is here? Who is with me? Hebrews 6:12. Hebrews 6:12.
This is New Living Translation. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance.
Amen. You will not become spiritually dull and sluggish and weary, indifferent. You will not lose steam and you will not lose faith. But you become what? Followers. Or you follow the example of those who through what? What? Excuse me, are you still with me? Those who through faith and endurance. To inherit God's promises, you need faith. But is that all you need? You also need what? Endurance. Hallelujah. You need faith, but you also need what? Endurance. Need endurance before you can enter the promise. When God himself came to the world, when Jesus came, he endured for 30 years before he started doing miracles. You see, when, and as a younger Christian, I thought, when Jesus was baptized in the water and he came out of the water, then the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. And many times we thought that, that's how when Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the Bible does not say that. The Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove, and then a voice said, what? What did the voice say? Did he say, now you are baptized in the Holy Spirit? No. What did he say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. And if you go to the next verse, he said, then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Amen? Yeah? So the dove coming on Jesus is a symbol of communion. It's a symbol of fellowship. It's a symbol of the fellowship of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The dove will settle because there's agreement. If there's no agreement, the dove will fly away. Amen? If you irritate the dove, what will he do? Hallelujah. So when the dove rests, there's harmony. There's agreement. There's fellowship. There's communion. Hallelujah. And when you have communion with the Holy Spirit, you will be led by the Spirit. If you don't have communion with the Holy Spirit, you will be led by the flesh. Amen? If you want to be led by the Spirit, what do you need? You need communion. You need fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. However, the Bible makes us understand in Luke chapter 1. When the angel came to Mary, Angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a child. Mary said, how can this thing be? Or another version will say, how will this happen? She was not doubting him. She was just asking for an explanation. Amen? When that same angel went to Zechariah and said, you're going to have a son. Zechariah doubted and asked for a sign. Jesus said an evil generation asks for a sign. So, what was the sign that was given to Zechariah? Amen. You see, the reason why Zechariah was wrong to ask for a sign is that a sign already happened. An angel appeared to you. You've never seen an angel before. And he appeared to you to tell you something that you've been praying for. Now you are still doubting. Hallelujah. Bible says without faith, it is impossible to what? So please God. But Mary was not doubting. He just said, how? So he now said, you know what? He said, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Read the Bible. Hallelujah. So Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. From birth, he had the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit. Amen. You remember that Luke 1, go back there. You see that God told Zechariah, said, you know what? John the Baptist. He will be filled with the Spirit from the womb. And 6 months later, after the angel has already visited Mary, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. What happened? When Mary entered and Elizabeth heard her greeting, what happened? Where's my mic? Sorry. Yes, I heard the voice. Who has the loudest? What happened? Who is bold? You are correct, by the way. Yes?
The baby,
John, what? Lived in the womb. Then what happened after? What?
Elizabeth prophesied.
Yes, you are jumping. But you are correct. Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. Amen. And she prophesied. Hallelujah. So, Mary, carrying Jesus. This is Jesus, maybe like 1 or 2 weeks conception. Goes to Elizabeth. And what happens? The anointing in the womb of Mary hits Elizabeth, and John the Baptist, 6 months gestation, jumped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following that? So from the womb, Jesus carried the anointing. After Elizabeth finished prophesying, what happened after? Anybody? What happened to Mary? The Bible says, also says that she was filled. All this is in Luke 1. She was filled with the Spirit and prophesied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But for 30 years, Jesus practiced meekness. You know meekness? Meekness is power under control. Hallelujah. It's anointing under what? Control. Because there was a set time for him to manifest. Okay? There was a time for him to be revealed. So for those 30 years, he practiced what? Meekness. He learned carpentry. Hallelujah. He learned obedience by the things what? He suffered. Hallelujah. But when he got baptized, remember John the Baptist? Yeah, he said, you know, I want to baptize. But what did John the Baptist say? He said, no. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say back when John the Baptist said, no, I won't come baptize you because you are better? What did he say? Anybody? Give me an idea. What? See? Yes. Why? The second part, you are correct. To fulfill all righteousness. Hallelujah. He said we have to do it. Yeah? To what? Fulfill. When there's a pattern, when there's an order that God has set, yeah? You may feel you are better, but follow the pattern. Amen? It's for your blessing. Hallelujah. That's why we take Holy Communion. It's not that you don't have faith. Yeah? But Holy Communion is there to help your faith. Hallelujah. Jesus says, do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. When you do it, there's a blessing that comes into your life. Hallelujah. You may feel you are spiritual, but there's a reason why you have to be in church. It's a pattern. If you miss it, you lose a blessing. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You can't do better. Hallelujah. You can't do better. So when you're in church, there's something that has to your life. Just by being where? In church. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you go through anything that God says you do, even if it doesn't make too much sense, it's moving your life in the right direction. It may not look spectacular. Yeah. Spiritual things don't have to be spectacular. Emotional things can be spectacular. Hello? Emotional can be what? But spiritual doesn't have to be spectacular. Hallelujah. It just follows faith and obedience. Hallelujah. And so Jesus was baptized in water. He fulfilled all right. Then that released him, yeah, into his ministry. Hallelujah. But not yet. Not yet. Not yet. He still had to go into the wilderness. For how long? And 40 days and 40 nights. No miracles yet. Until he went through the wilderness. 40 days and 40 nights. Hallelujah. Then when he came out, John saw him. I didn't realize it, but when I studied my Bible, I found out that That statement was made after, it wasn't after the baptism. It was after he saw him again. John saw him after the wilderness and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Hallelujah. And the Bible says that he went into Cana. Yeah? And the wine had run out. Hallelujah. And then what did he do? What did he do? He said, "Tell the servants the word. Few." How many? How many? Check your Bible. How many water pots? How many drums were filled with water? Everything in the Bible has meaning. Yeah, check. That's John chapter. Is John chapter 2, 3? Check it. The wedding at Cana. Check it. You can even Google. I allow you to Google. How many water pots were filled? Amen. Anybody got it? Come on, don't be shy. Who has it? How many? What? 6! Can you just verify that? I don't want to go the wrong way. How many?
6 water pots.
6 water pots. Was filled with what? Water. Hallelujah. Then what did you just do? That number 6 has a meaning, by the way. Everything has a meaning. What did you just do? Yeah? Bible doesn't say he prayed, but we can infer that he prayed. He said they should take it. Yeah, isn't it? And say, hallelujah. And when the governor tasted the water that was turned what? Into wine. There's a meaning there, big meaning. Remember what Jesus said? He said, "He that believes in me, out of his belly, his innermost being will flow what? Rivers of living water." But that was not the first statement. That was John 7. In John 4, he says that, yeah, if you believe in me, yeah, I will give you water that you will drink, that you will never what? Thirst again. And the Bible interprets that water is representing the Holy Spirit. So what am I saying? What I'm saying to you is that in the miracle of the wedding of Canaan, Jesus is telling us something. Yeah? That the real wine you need for your life is water. Which water? The living water. The whole 6 is the number of man. So you fill men with what? Water. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He is new wine that tastes better than any other old wine that you've been pursuing. Hallelujah. Anything that this life has to offer you is old wine. Hallelujah. It's old wine. It will not satisfy. It will never satisfy you. It may satisfy you temporarily, but it will disappoint you. Hallelujah. Some people's wine is entertainment. Hallelujah. Some people's wine is friends, ungodly friends. Yeah? It will not satisfy you. It will give you a temporary kick, yeah? But it will ultimately let you down. It will ultimately corrupt you. But if you take the water, Jesus said, "This one, you will not thirst again." Another way of saying is that it will satisfy you. Hallelujah. It will what? It will satisfy you. It's the living water. It's the Holy Spirit. And so, Jesus turns the water into wine. It's just left to our imagination. You know, in our imagination, you may be thinking that the water changed color. Not necessarily. Because all the Bible records is that he tasted it. Amen? He didn't have to change color. All he had to do is that when you taste it, you will know that this one is different. Hallelujah. He tasted it and said, where has this one been? That is what the water of the Holy Spirit does to your life. Hallelujah. It's living water. It's pure. It's refreshing. Hallelujah. It's renewing. Amen. It's inspiring. It's enlightening. It's enduring. And it's everlasting. Hallelujah. Say, I need the water. The living water of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I took you on a journey. For Hebrews 6 says that it is through faith and endurance that you inherit the promise. sometimes you're on the journey to your breakthrough, yeah? Then you give up halfway. Yeah? And you abort the process. And it's not every time that God will tell you that you've aborted it. Amen? That's why you need faith. Faith is that God tells you that, trust me and follow me. If you trust God, you will follow God. Hallelujah. God doesn't always tell you how long the journey, you know, how long it will take to the end. Because he wants you to trust him. If God gave you all the details, you will not trust him. Amen? You will trust yourself. Say, I've mastered it. Say, I've mastered God. I know how God works now. You can do that to the computer, but you cannot do that to God. You possibly can do it to artificial intelligence, but you cannot do it to God. God is not artificial intelligence. Hallelujah. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. He is the beginning and what? The end. Actually, Bible doesn't call him the end. What is Pastor Ben saying? He is the beginning and the ending. That's more accurate. It's the ending. Hallelujah. It's the beginning of what? And the ending. Hallelujah. Without him, nothing consists. So, be patient. Please turn to your neighbor and say, be patient. You need patience. Go to Matthew 5. This is bonus. I'll come back to the topic. But I need to give you this bonus because it's coming from the Spirit. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Yes, let's have a young person. Matthew 5, 5. Any young person in the house? Yes. You ready, sir? Matthew 5, 5. This row. Matthew 5, 5.
God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth.
God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Yes, there's a better version. Yes? New King James? Or Amplified? Yes? Matthew 5, 5. Please listen.
New King James version.
Yes.
Blessed are the meek.
Blessed are what? The meek. Why?
For they shall inherit the earth.
They will inherit the earth. It takes meekness to inherit God's promises. They are the same. I'm linking Matthew 5:5 to Hebrews 6:12. The earth we're talking about is not this one. This one is corrupted. Anybody wants to inherit this earth, own everything, and become super rich. You know, for you to own this whole earth, you need to displace everybody, yeah? Or make them all your slaves. Yeah? It's a corrupted one. Even if you inherit this earth, it will be wiped away. Amen? Jesus said, heaven and earth shall what? Pass away. Hallelujah. But the earth we're talking about is the new one. This, when the earth is passed, it will be like, for example, if you bought the whole of business stock, if you are sister Tony and you bought the whole of business stock, is that impossible? If she's transferring to you, accept it. It's a blessing. Imagine you can buy the whole of business stock. That's blessing. I gave you a blessing. You want to transfer it? No problem. Hallelujah. You bought the whole of business stock, yeah? And you have ideas of what you want to do with business stock. What will you do to business? What will be your first action? So imagine, like, you look at business stock, it doesn't look like the picture of what you want. And you just bought the whole of business stock. What will be your next move? Come on, help me.
Make a planning first.
Planning, yes,
and
yes.
Then you destroy what? You demolish!
Hello, sir. You what? You demolish everything. That's what it means. The new earth. God will clear everything. You know all those statues of, either the Statue of Liberty or the Statue of Churchill, they will all be what? Cleared. The Burj Khalifa. Is it Burj Khalifa? Anybody been to Dubai? I've never been there. Anybody been to Dubai? There's a Burj, that's the tallest building, isn't it? Am I correct? It will be what? Glad. What else? What else is super? The seven wonders of the world. They will what? Everything will be gone. When God comes home, the first thing he does is what? Clearance. Hallelujah. Clearance. And he will clear with fire. He will refine this heart with fire. Yeah? Then, he will make a new. And I always say that people who are meek, you are those who will inherit that new heart. The one that will not be corrupted. The one that will not be destroyed. An everlasting paradise. But you know what it takes? You know what meekness takes? Meekness takes faith and patience. Hallelujah. To inherit God's promises, you need what? Faith and what? And patience. You must be able to see beyond what the ordinary eyes can see. Hallelujah. If you cannot see beyond, you will compromise. You will be corrupted. Hallelujah. And you will lose faith. You will lose heart. But as you trust in God, hallelujah, and you follow him patiently, you will see God will do for you what no man can do. Hallelujah. What no man can do. Hallelujah. God promised Abraham, he said, I'm going to give you a son. Yeah. Then Abraham went off and tried to make it happen by what? Himself. And what did he find there? Trouble. Then he had to send away both the son and the mother. But when the time came, yeah, God himself came down to make it happen. Amen? He told Sarah, I said, you laughed. So I said, I didn't laugh. I said, you laughed. I said, I didn't laugh. How can you be denying something in front of God? Amen? Now, when you read that story, it looks like, you know, what's happening there? Why is God telling Sarah that you laughed? And Sarah is saying, I didn't laugh. Anybody can try to decode it for me? Let me explain to you. God comes down. I want to give you the clue. God comes down. Yeah? Sarah is in the tent. God tells Abraham, in the presence of Sarah, because God knows that Sarah is listening, that your wife, in 9 months' time, is going to have a son. God knows that Sarah had, and Sarah laughed. Yeah, but Sarah did not know that God saw everything. So why is God telling Sarah, bringing to her attention, that she laughed?
She was in doubt.
She was in doubt. Any other one? I'm taking it deeper. She was. At this time, Sarah was 89 plus. Yes.
To make it clear, it wasn't her power, and it was God's.
Yes. Okay, you're all close. Hallelujah. You're all close. Doubt, age, you know, God's power. But God, you know what God is doing? God is sealing the deal. Yeah? I know you heard me. And I actually want you to hear. Yeah? I want you to hear because I said it for your benefit. I said it what? For your benefit. So that laugh you laugh, don't think it passed my attention. It's you I wanted to hear it. Because if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. Hallelujah? It wasn't just for Abraham to believe it. Sarah had to believe it too. Because they both had problems. If Sarah had no problem, then only Abraham had to believe it. But if Sarah has problem, and Abraham has problem, both of them have to what? Believe it. And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. So when you hear God, when you can hear God in your heart, not just from the Bible. Because when you hear God from the Bible, you need communion. You need fellowship. So that logos you've heard in the Bible, yeah, can turn to what? Rhema in your heart. Hallelujah. The logos you've heard needs to turn to Rhema. Yeah? There was a day I was going, someone was going on, and I was thinking about the future, I was thinking about, my son's, fees, as my son is going to uni. I was thinking, and I was just thinking myself, my salary, and I thought, you know what? Well, if push comes to shove, I will sell my car. Yeah? So that I can pay for his university maintenance. You know, that bit that will not be given. Amen? And I was playing with the idea. In fact, actually, I played with the idea. I searched for the price of my... how much my car is. What? I said, okay, yes. Okay, at least we can get somewhere. Amen? And I played with that thought maybe for about a day or two. I said, maybe a day or so. And that day, when I finished, I was going out. Probably I was going in the car, maybe to get something. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me in my heart. He said, that car is your car. It's your blessing. It goes to no one. Hallelujah. It is up to me to believe it or throw it away. But that's what he told me. And I said, you know what? Lord, I'm sorry. I don't know how you provide, but this car is what? My car. If I sell it now, somebody else will take over it. Isn't it? And be enjoying what I should be enjoying. Then me, I'll be enjoying a car that will be waking up and dying. Waking up and dying. Hallelujah. And what will be the reason for my suffering? Because I don't have faith. I'm not suffering because God cannot provide. I'm suffering because I don't have faith to believe what God told me. Hallelujah. So, in communion, God speaks to your heart. When you hear God, yeah, faith has started. When you hear God, if you like, laugh. But pay attention to what God has said. You know, if you follow that story, it happened. God had it twice. You laughed. He said, I didn't laugh. I said what? You laughed. Hallelujah. So when you now go to, when you go to the New Testament, Romans, you see that, Bible says that by faith, Sarah received, or is it Hebrews? I think it's Hebrews 11. By faith, she received strength to conceive. Yeah? It was not naturally possible. Hallelujah. It was a divine impartation to the work of the Holy Spirit that she received what? Strength. Let's go there. Hebrews 11. Let's go to Hebrews 11. I believe that you are getting blessed. Hello? If you are getting blessed, shout hallelujah. The title of the sermon is Praying the Spirit. But I've not scratched it. The Holy Spirit can change the message. But what matters is that we hear what He wants us to hear. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, we read Matthew 5:5. Now I want to read Hebrews 11:11. Yeah? Yes? 2-3 versions. Which read? Hebrews 11:11. New Living, New King James, Amplified.
Operating New Living.
Yes.
It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep His promise.
Amen. Two problems Sarah had. What are two problems? She was barren. Meaning that she had some gynecological problems. That's a problem. Then, in addition, she is too old. Meaning that even if she didn't have gynecological problems, she see her age is still a problem. But where did the strength come from? By faith. Yes. Another version. I want to show you something there.
New King James.
Yes.
By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive.
She received strength to conceive. Yes, continue.
And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Amen. Let me explain something to you about faith. You see, there's a dimension of faith you enter because you read the Bible. And that's good. That's where you start from. Amen? That's where you start for. You start from the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. Logos. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Logos. Logos. But in Matthew 4:4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Get the Greek word there. It's rhema. Amen? It's rhema. The Logos has to become rhema. Amen? Say, would you say the Logos? That's Greek. It's the Greek for the word. Has to become rhema. How does the Logos become rhema? It's communion, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is the word of, that brings the word of God to life. He activates you in you. It's like you got a package, yeah? Now, did I tell you that you have to activate it within 3 days? If you don't activate it, it's not giving you the result you want. Hallelujah. When the Logos is activated in you, you get rhema. Rhema now is God speaking to you in your specific situation for a specific purpose. It gives you a line. Most of the rhema I've received in my life is just a line. It doesn't need to talk much. Just give you a line. You know, God is not a talkative. God only tells you, God says what he means, and he means what he says. In fact, God doesn't need to embellish his word. He will just tell you only what you need. Absolutely accurate. Amen? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, yeah, as we give attention to him. So someone says, you know what? If I'm believing God for something, how do I go about it? Start talking! Pray. Yeah? To the Father. Tell him your needs. Yeah? Have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Say, how do I do that? Say, Holy Spirit, what do you think? This is what I'm thinking. You talk to the Holy Spirit as you talk to your best friend. This is what I'm thinking. What do you think? After you said it, be patient. Amen? The Holy Spirit has no obligation to reply you immediately. He's not your dog. You get it? Yeah? Just tell him, then go on and do other things. He will come back to you. The only reason why the Holy Spirit will not come back to you is that you stop believing he would. If you believe he would, he would. He just give you, but he can do it in his own time, but the Holy Spirit is never late. He is never late. Time is in his hands. Hallelujah. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks to you in your heart, that's rhema. He just say, do this, that's rhema. He just tells you, stop doing this, that's rhema. Amen. He just says, don't go there, that's rhema. Rhema produces miracles. Hallelujah. So I stay in the Logos, the Word of God, continue to meditate on it. Then I have chat, conversation with the Holy Spirit about what is going on in me. You can have a conversation with the Holy Spirit the way you talk with your best friend. You know, some people, when they're in trouble or when something's going on, they are on the chat with their best, with their friends. Yeah? They are chatting. You know about chatting? Yeah? What's the chat all about? Do you know? Normally when you're chatting with your friend, what are you talking about? Come on, help me, young people. I'm coming to you, Sean. what are you talking about? I know daddy's there. Give me an example of a topic. What type of topic do you chat about that? You can just be there 30 minutes, just typing. I don't understand it, but explain. Sorry? Close. I thank you for your sincerity. Yeah. Please put your hands together for her. Just sincerity. I like sincerity. Close. Yes, more. You? She's smiling. what do you chat about if you are chatting? Just the topic, apart from clothes. Sorry? Netflix, thank you. Football, yes. Sorry?
Gossip.
Meaning that you're talking about a third. One more person. When you're chatting with your friends, what do you talk about? Just a topic.
Basketball.
Basketball. Amen. Have a chat with the Holy Spirit. If you want Rema, yeah, keep chatting with the Holy Spirit. Just tell him. Express yourself to him. Tell him something. Ask him something. Sometimes you may even remember something that happened 20 years ago. You can ask him. If you have faith, he will come back. You can say, oh, but why did I behave like that 20 years ago? He will tell you. Amen? You see, but you cannot ever have a genuine communion with the Holy Spirit if you don't have honesty. You cannot be honest with yourself, not talk about being honest with him. You know, think about your best friend. Would you ever call someone your best friend if they were dishonest to you? Never. Sorry. Let me ask the men over there. Will you call someone your good friend if they were dishonest to you?
Probably not, no.
In fact, if you think someone was your best friend, it's until the day you find out that they are being what? Dishonest. That's the end of the best friendship. They are immediately demoted. Hallelujah. Because dishonesty kills trust. So, if you want to have if you want Rema and want a proper conversation with the Holy Spirit, be honest. Hallelujah. Be what? Honest. He's not going to be embarrassed by your honesty. He knows it already. You know, Sarah? God saw her in the tent already laughing. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more version. Hebrews 11, 11, amplified. Let me see how we're doing with time. Okay, so I'll aim to round up in 6 minutes. Yes.
Praise the Lord. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive a child, even when she was long past the normal age for it, because she considered him who had given her the promise to be reliable and true to his word.
Amen. Question. When did God give Sarah the promise? When exactly did God give Sarah what? The promise. I gave you the answer already today. What? Yes, but what, can you picture, can you tell me, there's a moment in the Bible, and I've given you the clue already, or when Sarah received the promise that she will have a child. Yeah, when she was baking the bread. Yeah, in the tent. You know, when you read that story, you think God, it was Abraham that God came to visit. But do you remember that God has already told Abraham before that you have a child? So that's not a new message to Abraham. But the only problem is that Abraham did not tell Sarah. You know why Abraham did not tell Sarah? Yeah? Give me one reason. Why didn't Abraham tell? If God told Abraham that you're going to have a child, yeah? And his wife is barren and his wife is old, why wouldn't he tell her?
Is it because he's afraid that she will mock
him? The answer is one word. Fear. Amen? It's not even fear of mockery. I think it's just fear of Sarah. Because when Sarah said, look, God told Abraham, I'll give you a child. Then Sarah comes and says, you know what? I'm not going to have a child. Take my servant. Why didn't Abraham challenge her? Fear of Sarah. Abraham did not say to Sarah that God said you will have a child. So how can she have faith? Sarah cannot have faith. So what did God do? He came down. Yeah? Amen? And said it in Sarah's hearing. And in case you thought maybe I missed it, he drew attention to it. When he's standing there, you laugh. He's trying to say that you heard. Amen? You what? You heard. So when she received that, when she heard that promise, That was a rhema to her. It was no longer even Abraham saying anything to her. It was her hearing God. So by that faith that comes from hearing God directly, she received the strength to conceive, despite the fact that she was past the age. Now, I want to generalize. You may be listening to this and thinking, you know what? Conceiving is not my problem. I'm not talking about conceiving here. That conceiving is anything you need God to work out in your life. From the spiritual, to the mental, to the emotional, to the physical, to the financial, to the material. Anything. Any impossibility. Any mountain. Anything at all. You can't limit God. You can't what? Limit God. With God, all things are possible. Now, yes, we know that in real times, not everybody experiences a miracle. But your case can be different. That's why your DNA is unique. Your DNA what? Is unique. You are unique. It doesn't matter if 1 million people are not getting it. You can. You can. If you hear God, you believe God, you follow instruction, you endure. Somebody say endure. You endure. You pass away. Yeah? Your story can change. Both in this world and much more. Someone say much more. I need to understand, I'm not a good pastor if I didn't teach you that what is coming beyond this life is bigger than what is in this life. Hallelujah. If you are rich in this life, yeah, but you are poor. I know a man. I know him, he's in business. I won't tell you any more details. He thinks he is rich. Yeah? But I look at him and I see poverty written all over him because he may have some small money. I call it small. Because there are people that are bigger, richer than that. Yeah? But spiritually, he's what? He's poor. He's wretched. He's blind. He's naked. Hallelujah? So what will happen now when he passes from this world? Yeah? Is of all men the most miserable. Hallelujah. So it's a terrible thing to be rich in this world and poor in the things of God. Because you will grow old. Very soon I'm going to turn 50. I have to change gear now. Begin to think 50. And by the way, if you turn 50 before me, begin to think 60 now. Where are they? And if you are still 18, serve the Lord. Yeah, in the days of your youth. Amen? Serve the Lord when your body, when you move it and it's moving the way you want. Serve the Lord when you can score a goal like the Spanish guy. Yeah? Or the English. You know the one that scored the last one. Then I just struck it through. Amen? Yeah, serve the Lord then. Hallelujah. Because there's a time coming that you want to strike it through. In your mind, you struck it. But the ball went the other way. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Don't be sluggish. Let's have Hebrews 6 12. Let me see. We round up there. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 12, we had it new living. Can we have it New King James and Amplified? Then we finish it there. Yes? Two more people who have not read today. Hebrews 6, 12, New King James and Amplified. Then we finish. Today we talk about meekness. We talk about faith. We talk about patience. We talk about the communion of the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Logos and the Rhema. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. Tell us which version, sir.
New King James.
Yep.
That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Don't become sluggish. Please turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Say, don't become sluggish. Don't become sluggish. What are the other words? Don't become spiritually lazy. There's such a thing called spiritual laziness. It may cost you your destiny. Spiritual laziness will cost you your destiny. Don't become sluggish, but be followers of those who through faith and what? And patience. That's meekness. Meekness is the ability to stay the course. You just stay what? The course. Even in the midst of adversity, what you know to be true, yeah? Stay the course. Hallelujah. The truth you have received, your ability to stay that course is meekness. Your ability to wait on the timing of God's promise is what? Meekness. When you want to get this correct, think of Jesus with all the anointing. Yeah? He waited 30 years before he started doing miracles. That is meekness. Hallelujah. That's what? That's meekness. No wonder when he was baptized, what did the father say? He said what? This is my beloved son. In whom what? Hallelujah. He has fought the good fight. Yeah? He has finished the race. And he has kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7, I believe. That's meekness. That's who you want to be. Amplified? Then amplified? Hebrews 6:25. That's the last bit now. Hebrews 6:25. Yes? Who has it? Hebrews 6:25. Then we finish. Yes, thank you, sir. That's the last bit. And then we'll rise up. Hebrews 6:12.
So that you will not be spiritually sluggish, but will instead be imitators of those who through faith lean on God with absolute trust and confidence in Him and in His power.
Just wait, sir. Through faith, then it appraises what faith is. Faith is your ability to lean on God with what?
Absolute trust.
Continue, sir.
And confidence in Him and in His power.
And confidence in Him. And you lean on Him. Hallelujah. You lean on Him. Continue, please.
And by patient endurance, even when suffering, are now inheriting the promises.
By patient, by staying that course, by staying on the path of righteousness, by doing what you know to be true and right, by trusting and waiting and not giving up, not being weary, not being sluggish, not compromising, not allowing yourself to be corrupted, not allowing yourself to drift with the tide of the day. Finally, you get to the point where you are reaping the benefit. You are inheriting the promises. You are experiencing something that the average man is not experiencing because you chose to trust God. That's what belongs to you. Let's rise up. Talk to God today. I hope that the message has stirred you up in your heart to activate your trust, your faith, your relationship with God. Because ultimately that's what it comes back to. If you will ever make it to heaven, it comes back to your relationship with God. If you will ever inherit the promises, it comes back to what? Your relationship with God. If you will ever overcome that adversity that you've tried every other thing is not working, it comes back to your ability to lean on God with what? Absolute trust and confidence in His ability. That's what we're talking about there. And patient endurance. That's the part I must emphasize. Patient what? Endurance. Until you inherit the promise. Talk to God and say, Lord, I choose to be faithful. But you understand what I mean by faithfulness? It means that I choose to lean on you. With what? Absolute trust. I choose to be confident in your ability, both for now and the future. I choose to patiently endure in the path of righteousness and truth, to patiently wait on the rhema, the word you have spoken to me personally. I choose to patiently wait on it and stick with it until it produces a miracle